two different ways. Lakers, maybe there is.
You heard how it went down. Now time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Giannis, a little sidestep down inside, lays it in with the foul.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
Three-pointer from Bobby Portis finds the bottom of the net right at the buzzer. Holiday trots off the other way for Milwaukee. He'll let one fly from three, and his tray goes down. Drew Holiday, a big-time three from the top of the arc.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
All right, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here, but it's starting to feel like the Bucks are back. The way they took care of business tonight in this victory against the Clippers, you had a little bit of reservation coming into the game because it was night two of a back-to-back, but this was a dominant performance from the team, and I'm starting to get a lot of the vibes we had last year right around this same part of the schedule heading into the All-Star break. 855-616-1620 is the AccuNet Mortgage Talk and Text line to join the program tonight. Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices. Mentioned it on the network portion of the postgame. A lot of the areas that have been big-time issues for the Bucks in recent games, they have cleaned those up dramatically in the last three games here. But you start with that Wizards victory earlier in the week, last week. And look, was it an impressive win? No. But the Bucks took care of business in that game, and they did not fold. When we saw them build up a big lead, you thought, okay, this is what you expected to see. Built up the big lead, did see the Wizards start to make a comeback in that game, but then the Bucks put them away down the stretch where you had a little more confidence in that game on February 1 with a 14-point victory. In that game, you know, we mentioned third quarter issues. The Bucks lost the third quarter, 33-25. It wasn't a total disaster like we've seen really for most of this season, but they had a 13-point lead at halftime. Then all of a sudden it's down to five, but they bounced back in the fourth quarter. In the two games since that Wizards victory, the Bucks have put together complete victories. Tonight you had a lot of back and forth play in the opening quarter. But after that, in the second quarter, midway through, the Bucks just put their foot down and dominated the Clippers the rest of the way. 14 of 20 on threes in the second half. A balanced offensive attack. Bobby Portis appears to have broken out of his shooting slump. Giannis is now up to 18 straight games, scoring 25 or more. Chris Middleton, we gave some of the numbers on the network pregame show about what Chris has done since January 1. All things are trending upward here for this Bucks team so far this season. And again, I'm going to continue to say it. This stretch that they're in, this is big for this Bucks team. So if they can continue to put together games like this, I expect them to win on Tuesday against the Lakers. This just looks like a rejuvenated, different version of this team. I'm not going to say they flipped a switch, but look, after that loss to the Nuggets on January 30th, it was an ugly performance. Outscored, embarrassed on the home floor. Denver comes in and dominates them. 136-100 final. Nikola Jokic was dominant. The Bucks looked lifeless and lost in that game. And you got the sense that was a bit of a wake-up call, that this team win one or two and then lose, and it was one step, two steps forward, one step back. There was no consistency. Then that comes. That may have been the best possible thing for the Bucks this season, to lose in the manner that they did, to get that wake-up call. I'm sure they were spoken to in practice. We heard, hey, we had some more practices. We went over some other things. You got the sense it was an upset dad that Bud had after the post game as well. We heard some of the comments. We heard how brief he was. You got the sense it was going back to your teenage years when you disappointed your parents. That's what it felt like. And the way the Bucks have responded, message received. a big fourth quarter in the win against the Wizards, and now a season-high 137 in back-to-back games here on a West Coast road trip. 50% shooting now in three straight games. 23 threes last night, 19 threes tonight. They're getting the easy baskets, 11 corner threes in the last two games combined. Shooting percentage has been extremely high. Effective field goal percentage up there as well. Everything the Bucks have been doing statistically in these last two games, I know it's a small sample size, but it has been domination. And oh, by the way, 40 mid-range points tonight, which was also a season high for the team. You had a season high in assists last night. You had a season high in mid-range points tonight. You had a season high in fast break points tonight. And perhaps most importantly, how many times, I mean, we hear it on all the imaging that the station runs, that the network runs as well, how many times have we heard, when we move the ball, we're tough to beat? When the Bucks have 25 or more assists, they are 20-1 this season. They average just over 23 a game. Tonight they had 28. Drew Holiday had basically half of those with 13. But when they hit 25, 25 is the magic number for the Bucks. When they hit 25 or more assists, they're basically unbeatable. The only loss when that happened was against the Charlotte Hornets in that dreadful weekend that they had, the Saturday-Monday games in Charlotte against the Hornets. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Nothing but positives to take away from the first two games of this Western Conference road trip. We haven't even touched on what Greg Monroe has done for this team in the two games. Some more statistics behind the third quarter issues that we're no longer seeing. Bobby Portis numbers to back up. Is Bobby Portis back? And of course, touched on some of the struggles we're seeing in Brooklyn. I want to replay some comments from Steve Nash, but it's just making Thursday all the more interesting for the Brooklyn Nets, not only where they are in the standings, but what this means. If Brooklyn finishes in the play-in tournament, the ramifications that you have there, and look, we're getting to the All-Star break. We're beyond the midpoint of the season. It is no longer too early to look ahead at the projections and look at what potential playoff matchups would be. If the season were to end today, the Bucks' path to a championship, to a repeat championship, and according to the projections, what's the Bucks' path as well? Because you're starting to get the sense, hey, if the Bucks finish, even if they finish fourth and the Eastern Conference remains bunched up, may not be a bad thing for reasons that we'll explain in just a moment. But again, 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line to get in touch with us tonight on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Middleton's got it on the right wing. 11-3 run for the Clippers. Little stutter step, working on Ibaka, fades and fires. His shot at the horn is good. 14-footer for Cash Money Middleton. And the Bucks climb back to within four to close out the quarter.
There are some Chris Middleton numbers to share because, congrats to Chris Middleton for being named an All-Star once again. He should have been in the All-Star game, been named an All-Star last year. There is an All-Star discussion to be had on the Knights show as well because Drew Holiday was not named there yet. There are going to be some replacements due to injury, potentially more than we're anticipating on that, not Eastern Conference squad, but the Kevin Durant team. So we basically know Jason Tatum is going to be in the starting lineup in place of Kevin Durant, who's been injured. And Jason Tatum replaced Kevin Durant last year. But that means somebody needs to replace Jason Tatum as a reserve. A pretty decent chance that's going to be Drew Holiday. So we'll get to the potential for replacements and who Drew Holiday would be up against. But to round off the Chris Middleton point, I think a decent amount of us were somewhat surprised that it was Chris that got the nod over Drew Holiday for the All-Star game when those announcements were made on Thursday. But when you examine what Chris has done since January 1st, it's really not that surprising. That I think Drew has been more consistent and consistently the second-best player on the team this year. But since January 1st, when, you know, let's be honest, a lot more people have started to pay attention to the NBA, from that point forward, Chris Middleton has been the second-best player on this team. Coming into play tonight, he was averaging 21 points a game since the calendar flipped to 2022. Averaging 6-plus rebounds, nearly 6 assists a game. All three of those, points, rebounds, and assists, are higher than his season average. And he's shooting 47% from the floor and 40% on his threes. So Chris Middleton has been their second-best player since January 1st. He has been extremely consistent in the last 16 or 17 games now. So that's why he was named to the All-Star team. But there is still hope for Drew Holiday to make it. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. If you want to join the program, Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Let's head out to Port Washington and talk with Dick. You're up on Bucks Talk.
Hey, Justin. Hey, the moose is loose. He's looking good. But you know what? If you're having a Kool-Aid stand, I'm not buying it. We had the last three victories over teams that were a little bit above G League status, and we beat them, and you should. What would have happened if they lost two of those three? We'd be all down on this. I mean, I don't think they're back. Let's see what happens against the Lakers, because those guys are back. And the biggest game, the biggest tell, this first half of the season, which isn't really the half, is against Phoenix. I mean, this is what it's really going to tell what's going to be where the Bucks are for the remainder of the season. The other games here, it's a mirage. It doesn't mean anything. They should have won these games, and they did, period. What do you think?
Here's my counter. I agree that they should win these games. They were not winning these games early in the season, so they're at least more consistent right now. And, yeah, we shouldn't be patting ourselves on the back for beating a Clippers team that doesn't have Kawhi Leonard or Paul George. But that's what the Bucks have done this season, that they've struggled with those opponents. So, look, I'm not saying they're totally back. You do need to see it against good teams. What's back is consistency, and they're winning the games you expect them to win. They didn't have disastrous quarters like they've had all throughout this season, and they've put together two complete wins, regardless of what the opposition has been. That's something that's evaded them. So in that sense, it feels like it did at times last year. What I would push back on is I don't think the Suns game is the biggest game for them, because Phoenix has been incredible this season. They've been the best team in the league at home. That's going to be a tough game regardless. To me, the Philadelphia game, the final game before the All-Star break, that is bigger than the Suns game, because that's a team you're jockeying for position with in the standings, and Joel Embiid has been carrying that team across the finish line. So to me, the Sixers game is going to be bigger than the Suns game.
Well, except the metric is the Suns.
Yeah, look, it's going to be a big game. But to me, just because of the conference seeding, the Sixers game, and that's the same can be said for Philadelphia. This is another time where it's two teams. Hopefully they're both full strength here. Two teams that could potentially finish with the best record in the East going at it. That's a more telling game for me. Not to say I don't want to see a good performance on Thursday against the Suns, but I'm going to take more from that Philadelphia game than I will the Suns game. Mike in Shorewood, you're up next.
How you doing, man?
Not bad.
I got to say, to me, I think they are back. I disagree with the last caller, because they weren't winning these games previously. So I know these are subpar teams, and actually I'm going to say the Clippers, being down their two best players, are still a feisty team, and they're winning these games. Previously they were struggling to win, and now they're looking like last year where they were dominating, just blowing teams out. So I think this is a great sign going forward, and with all the circle of herky-jerky stretch they've had, they're in a great position because they're only a half game back of Miami now. So with all that being said, I think the Bucks are sitting pretty, and you mentioned it well. I think they're going to dominate the Lakers right now. They're going to go ahead and handle them, and you mentioned the two games I'm looking at circled. Obviously, Phoenix, obviously the best team in the league right now, which is going to be a – they want to have a good showing there because that might possibly be a rematch. And then you mentioned the other team, Philly. Philly's playing great basketball right now. Joel Embiid is probably playing right there as well as anybody. Giannis, probably the 1-2, and probably Jokic with Morant probably in the running for the MVP. So that's going to be a big test for them. And again, on the road there before break. So I don't know, man. It looks like everything after the unevenness, I think they're rounding the form now. And you mentioned right now our trio of Middleton, he's playing great basketball right now. Obviously, well-deserved all-star. Giannis is Giannis as usual. And then with Holiday, I'll take our trio against anybody in the league. So as long as those guys are clicking, everybody follows along. And you're seeing the results now, especially with Portis. And so as a Bucks fan, man, I'm liking where they're sitting right now. So, no, they can't relax now and give up. Don't want to revert back to form. You want to finish this last quarter of the stretch strong heading into the playoffs. So we're going to see now coming up. Now, you mentioned those two games. But obviously, the Phoenix, the more important is the East game in Philly because they're in your conference. So that's going to be two interesting matchups to look forward to. And thanks for the time. Take care of the Lakers, as the Fakers, as I call them.
Yeah.
Go ahead and knock them out too.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. Philadelphia, look, the Phoenix game is big. The Sixers game is more important. And I anticipate and I expect the Bucks to do what they've done the last two nights against the Lakers. The Lakers are not a good team. I understand you see the name LeBron James, you see Anthony Davis, but similar to what we touched on with the Bucks and just the inability to get things together and build up any of that consistency, the Lakers have some roster issues. They have consistency issues. And look, I've said it time and time again. You can't blame this on injuries. This is one of those years no team can blame anything on injuries because every single team has had injuries. They've had players out for COVID restrictions. The Lakers are no different than the Nets, the Bucks, the Sixers, the Bulls right now, the Denver Nuggets. All of these teams are dealing with it. It's Nikola Jokic and no one else on that Nuggets team. They're playing without Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray, their best two players. And there they are in the thick of things in the Western Conference. The Chicago Bulls, all the injuries that are piling up for them. They're still leading the conference for most of this stretch now, just a half game out of the conference. Yeah, the Lakers have been without Anthony Davis and LeBron. So what? Every team has been without their best players this year, and the Lakers have really struggled, which shows you it's not a great assembled roster, and it's a team that's getting older. So this is a game the Bucks very much should win and frankly should dominate. With the way they've played the first two games of this road trip, they should dominate the Lakers if they continue to play like that on Tuesday night. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. And look, the last thing I'll say is the Bucks have been consistent in these two games, and that's why I say it is starting to feel like they may be flipping a switch and they're back. Message received after that loss last Sunday against the Denver Nuggets, after that embarrassment. Whatever the message was, they received it, and they've turned things around. You kind of dipped your toe in the waters against the Washington Wizards, but on this road trip, they've won six of the eight quarters, and the two quarters they lost, it wasn't a disaster. 4 points they lost the opening quarter tonight. 3 points they lost the fourth quarter, which was garbage time last night. They didn't have that massive, uh-oh, what happened here? A double-digit lead is all of a sudden down to one or two, or they're losing. That's been a huge issue for them. They've cleaned up things like turnovers and points off of turnovers. They've been a better rebounding team. They were brutal on the glass in January. And again, two games now where you have another center on the roster And Bobby Portis and Giannis look pretty good. So we'll see if that trend continues as well on Tuesday. But 855-616-1620 is the number to get in touch with us on the program. When we return, we got the stat of the day. We have the Bucks tweet of the night. And why this feels like what we saw last year heading into the All-Star break. I'll explain after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Holiday moves to the free throw line. Back to Giannis with eight to shoot. Backing in on Zubats. Now he fades and fires. Contested jumper from the baseline is no good, but an offensive rebound from Monroe, who floats it right back up and in.
Well, if you listen closely, you could hear the familiar tones of Greg Monroe screaming and one. And all feels right. Greg Monroe, by the way, 9 points. He has been pretty good for the Bucks in these two games. We don't want to make too much over a 10-day deal, but 15 points and 10 rebounds in two games here for Greg Monroe. And I think the biggest takeaway is he played about 15 minutes each of these two games. As long as you have another big that can give you 15 or so minutes, look at what it's done for Giannis and Bobby Portis. Yes, inferior opponents you had on these two games, but in back-to-back games, 54 points from Bobby, 57 from Giannis. They each had a double-double tonight. And Bobby Portis, by the way, 10 of 13 on threes in these last two games. If you want to include the Wizards game, which wasn't great, Bobby Portis is 11 of 18 on threes in the month of February. Bobby Portis might be back as well. So all things appear to be trending upward for the Bucks. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. Of all the numbers we've listed, time to get to the ones that mattered the most, the stat of the day.
Everybody in here, stat.
I know you all like stats, so let me give you some.
Boss, here's our stat for the day.
19 of 38 on threes tonight. The number that stands out most with their three-point shooting, 14. 14 of the 19 makes came in the second half, of which they attempted 20 threes. Yes, the Bucks shoot 14 of 20 on three in the second half here. 5 of 18 in the first half, 25% basically that they were shooting on threes, and they finished the game shooting 50% from the outside once again, 19 of 38. So this is two straight games where the Bucks have basically been shooting 50% on threes, 23 of 50 last night, 19 of 38 tonight. But the 14 of 20 performance in the second half is our stat of the game in this Bucks victory over the Clippers. I mentioned this a couple of minutes ago, but what the Bucks are doing now and the consistency that we've seen two basically complete games in the win tonight and the win last night, we kind of saw this last year. And I know last year we pointed to a couple of things. Well, when these three guys play together, the Bucks are pretty good. And yeah, the Bucks are still kind of figuring things out. They are working on some things defensively. You can't use that this year. It's not as though the Bucks are working on switching more. We've seen them play zone more, but it's not to the levels it was a season ago where 50% of the roster was new. You weren't only working in new principles offensively and defensively. You had seven teammates that had never been there before that were trying to figure out everything about their teammates in the system. So you can't really make the same argument you did then, but you'll point to how good the Bucks were when Giannis, Chris, and Drew played last year. Well, this year, when Giannis, Chris, and Drew play, the Bucks are 22-5. Pretty good. The five losses that the Bucks have had, and by the way, that's 81% winning. 81% of the games they're winning when Giannis, Chris, and Drew play. They lost to Miami on the road. They lost on the road to the Boston Celtics. The head scratcher, they lost at home to the Pistons. They lost on the road in Cleveland, and then they lost the game that we mentioned is possibly the biggest wake-up call for this team, January 30th, they lost to the Nuggets. Those are the five games they've lost when Giannis, Chris, and Drew play. But I go back to last year, and it was a little different for the reasons we just explained, that 50% of your roster was new. You were utilizing the dunker spot. You changed your offense. You were figuring out how to utilize Drew Holiday. It was really around the All-Star break, just after, that Drew Holiday appeared to be more comfortable and locked in and figure things out. It was just a bizarre season overall. First couple of months, there were no fans in arenas. You started right around Christmas after just wrapping up the season a couple of months prior. And it was a 72-game season. It wasn't at the All-Star break, but just before the All-Star break, last year, Bucks were 16-13. I remember this stretch vividly. They had two straight home games against the Toronto Raptors. They lost both of them, and they lost both of them ugly. They were 16-11. They lost those games. It was part of a rough stretch where the Bucks were 16-8 after a win in Denver against the Nuggets. Then they lose five in a row. And that was a stretch where Drew Holiday was out. But they lose the five in a row. They drop to 16-13. And the All-Star break last year was a week. It was early March because, again, we started a month and a half later than usual. So early March was the All-Star break. Bucks were 16-13 after those two straight losses to the Raptors. They closed out the first half of the season, if you will, at 22-14. So they went 6-1 going into the All-Star break. And remember, the last game was on the road in Memphis where Drew Holiday hit the game winner against the Grizzlies. But they won six of their final seven games leading into the All-Star break. You look at what the Bucks have here on the schedule. And you know, we've touched on this a handful of times. There is a golden opportunity for the Bucks to do something very similar. If we just look at the month of February alone and say, okay, these are the games you got to take care of. We talked about how important this stretch is. Well, so far they're 3-0. They got five games left. So they're going to play eight games instead of seven going into the All-Star break. With this schedule, there is no reason to think they can't go 6-2 going into the All-Star break, which again, last year, 6-1 going into the All-Star break. Then you get that week-long break. And the Bucks responded by winning the next seven games. So in total, it was an eight-game win streak. They won seven in a row out of the All-Star break. Now, schedule is a little more difficult post-All-Star break this year. You open it up with the Brooklyn Nets. You have the Charlotte Hornets at home. You have the Miami Heat at home. Three straight tough games. Home games, but three straight tough games against teams that are in the top seven, in the top eight in the Eastern Conference. Then you have the Bulls on the road. Then you have the Phoenix Suns at home. Thunder and the Hawks, the Warriors on the road. It's a tough stretch. But what's most important is if they can do the same thing they did last year, they go 6-1 into the All-Star break. 6-2 is what you shoot for here. If they go 6-2, I mean, I think that's a telltale sign. Okay, this team is back. From 16-13 last year to the run they went on, going 6-1 and then 7-0, 13-1. From 16-13, they went 30-13 in the second half of the season. That was when you realized, yeah, this team is figuring it out. It's a tough stretch, but look, if they can figure it out and they can get more consistency, 22-5. 22-5 when that trio plays. If they eliminate some of those mistakes they were making, yes, it's a tough stretch of games, but as we've seen, 81% of the time when Giannis, Chris, and Drew play, they win. So as long as you can stay healthy, tough schedule or not, road games or not, you should feel pretty good about the Bucks' chances and about what they're doing. And again, the Sixers game that we referenced to me is the most important game remaining this month. It's not the Phoenix Suns game. It's not the Brooklyn Nets game that you have the first game after the All-Star break. It's the 76ers game on February 17th. I don't know what to expect in that game. In the two games, pre- and post-All-Star break for the Bucks, because those two teams that they play are attached at the hip. And we talked about this with Dave on the pregame show of, look at this weekend. Bucks played the Blazers and the Clippers on back-to-back games. One day before their game against the Blazers and the Clippers complete a trade. The trade deadline is this Thursday, so it's not going to be that close to, hey, this trade just happened and now this. But, look, the rumors of James Harden being traded to the 76ers are not going away anytime soon. And the Bucks have the Sixers and the Nets in consecutive games right around the time we would anticipate a trade to happen if it does in fact happen. So another bizarre stretch for the Bucks, but 30-13 in the second half of the season last year after an impressive finish to the first half of the season, which they have a really good chance of doing right now. 855-616-1620, the AccuNet Mortgage Talk and Text Line, our Bucks tweet of the night, and more on the Eastern Conference that remains up for grabs. The up-to-date projected standings and what path would be best for the Bucks. It is not too early to talk about that yet. We'll get into that after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Stick around. Bucks Talk continues next, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
My son is so...
One call, that's all.
5 seconds left. Holiday feeds to Middleton. Middleton with 2 seconds. Feeds the corner. Three-pointer from Bobby Portis. Finds the bottom of the net. Right at the buzzer. Portis knocks down the buzzer beater. And what a way to finish the half for the Bucks, who take a 9-point lead into the locker room.
Last night it was Bobby Buckets. Tonight it was Bobby Buzzer Beater. Building up that 9-point lead going into halftime. And look, you want one more parallel to last year? Touched on the 6-1 into the All-Star break, 7-0 out of the All-Star break. But here's another one. Bucks lost at home to the Nuggets last year, pre-All-Star break. .128-97, a 31-point loss. They won their next 8 games. Bucks lost to the Nuggets this year, .136-100, a 36-point loss at home. They had 8 games after that between now and the All-Star break. I'm not suggesting they're going to win all 8 of them, but the more you look for it, there's more parallels to what we saw last year right around this time on the schedule. Not the calendar, but on the schedule last year. And again, 22-5 is all you need to point to. They are 22-5 when Giannis, Chris, and Drew play. Time for our Bucks tweet of the night. It comes to us from our friend Ty, who we mentioned 22-5 when the trio plays. Well, he takes it one step farther. Tweeting just after the game, with a win tonight, the Bucks are now 10-3 when Giannis, Chris, and Drew play with a true center. They went 7-3 with DeMarcus Cousins. They're 2-0 now with Greg Monroe. And, of course, 1-0 on opening night when Brooke Lopez was there. So 81% winning percentage when Giannis, Chris, and Drew play, period. But when they have a big man with them, 77% winning percentage. They're winning just 57% of the time when there's no center on the floor in those games. 855-616-1620 is the AccuNet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. In a couple of minutes, we will revisit this day in Bucks history, as today is the anniversary of something that's quite memorable for all Bucks fans and for all Giannis fans. We'll get to that here in just a moment. But we referenced the NBA predictions.
This is Buck.
On last night's show, the projected standings. Once again, it has been updated. The Miami Heat are still projected to finish the season with the most wins in the Eastern Conference. But the Bucks are projected to finish second. Miami is projected to go 52-30. The Bucks are projected at 51-31. And then you have the Sixers, who right now are projected to finish third at 50-32. Where it gets interesting, the Cavs and Bulls, this model has as the 4-5 matchup. The sixth is the Boston Celtics. And right now, projected to finish seventh, although this remains very fluid, is the Brooklyn Nets, who are projected to finish the season with 45 wins, 45-37. The Raptors are just behind them. But under that scenario, the Bucks would potentially get the Brooklyn Nets in the opening round of the playoffs. Now, when the Bucks were around fourth or fifth in the Eastern Conference, and again, not as though that can't change in a day with the way the East has been. Right now, the Bucks are technically second, tied with the Chicago Bulls, just a half game out of first place. But when you looked at how everything was shaking out, at one point the Bucks were fifth, the Cavs were fourth, the Bulls were first. That was the ideal scenario, in all seriousness. If your first-round matchup is the Cleveland Cavaliers, great story, a very promising young team, but a team that has zero playoff experience. It's different in the playoffs. We saw that for 2 years. We saw the Bucks fall short to the Raptors, a team that had experience. We saw the Bucks fall short to the Miami Heat. It's different in the playoffs. A first-round matchup with the Cavs, a potential second-round matchup with the Bulls, who are in that same category as well. DeMar DeRozan has playoff experience. That's it. And you wouldn't have to face the Nets or the Sixers until the conference finals. That's the most ideal scenario for the Bucks. Under this scenario, if you're getting Brooklyn in the first round, potentially, because look, here's the other thing worth pointing out. If the Brooklyn Nets finish seventh, what does that mean? One, it means they're in the play-in tournament. But here's how the play-in tournament works. Seven hosts eight. The winner is in as the seventh seed. Nine hosts ten. The winner is still alive. The loser is eliminated. So the winner of 9-10 plays the loser of 7-8. And, of course, the loser would be the higher seed, so they host it. So if you follow me here, if the Nets are the seventh seed, they would host the eighth seed in the play-in tournament, meaning they're the home team. Kyrie Irving would not play in that game. If they lose, they would host the winner of 9-10. So, again, Kyrie Irving would not play. It is an incredibly fascinating situation we have going on in the Eastern Conference. And earlier today, we heard from Steve Nash, who at this point, you don't know what to make of it. And if you're Steve Nash, I'm sure you are starting to get sick of it. But the Nets lost today to the Denver Nuggets, to a team that we just mentioned may have inadvertently turned the Bucks season around. They may have done it last year too. But they lost to the Denver Nuggets by 20 on the road. And after the game, as you would expect, the questions were about James Harden and the rumors that James Harden may in fact be traded.
No, I've talked to James. He wants to be here. You know, he wants to be here long term as well. So I don't think anything's changed other than noise from the outside. James wants to be here. We're building with James, and we think we have the best chance to win with James. So, you know, I don't think anything's changed on the inside, in our locker room, in our communication. It's just all the noise from the outside.
When you mentioned you talked to James and he wants to be here, was that like a formal conversation with him? Obviously, there's a lot swirling. Does that include the front office? I mean, how deep did you guys get into, you know, his desire to be here?
This has been a constant thing since the summer. You know, he's continually reiterated that he wants to be here, and we've continually said that we want him here and that's our best chance to win. So nothing's changed from the communication we've had, and we just want to be conservative with him so we don't lose him for big stretches. We think when he's healthy and Kevin's healthy and Kyrie plays, our team's a totally different team, and we're excited by it.
Thursday, 2 p.m. Central Time, the trade deadline. Do the Nets move James Harden is the most fascinating subplot to the season that we've seen really start to escalate and develop the last couple of days. We'll wrap up the show after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
To Middleton on the left wing, back to Connaughton. He flicks the wrist from three and delivers on what is his sixth three-pointer of the game. 18 points all from long range now for Pat Connaughton. Pistol Pat.
Six threes tonight from Pat Connaughton. So you see bounce back shooting performances from Connaughton, from Bobby Portis, two players that the Bucks have really needed it from, but more importantly, more consistency from this team as they beat the Clippers to start the road trip 2-0 overall, three straight wins for the Bucks. Final few minutes here on the program. Remember, more West Coast basketball Tuesday night, so we anticipate to hit the airwaves at around midnight with Bucks Talk on Tuesday night after the Lakers game. We'll dive into the All-Star debate quite a bit more on that show, as the All-Star draft is going to be on Thursday. But the last thing I'll say tonight, Giannis, DeMar DeRozan, Kevin Durant, Joel Embiid, and Trae Young are the starters selected in the Eastern Conference. Remember, it's not East versus West. Kevin Durant and LeBron James will draft their own teams among the 10 selected starters. But Kevin Durant's not going to play, so Jason Tatum is going to take his spot in the starting lineup, meaning Jason Tatum needs a replacement for the reserve. So potential for Jrue Holiday inclusion there. I think you need to keep an eye on the James Harden situation, where he's starting to miss some time with a hamstring issue. Potential for him to be out as well. And Draymond Green is going to be out in the West. So there's going to be a couple of replacements here. A chance that the Bucks could have three All-Star representatives All-Star weekend in the All-Star game two weeks from tonight. Okay, on this date, February 6th, 3 years ago, one big moment occurred in Bucks history. February 6th, 2018, a memorable moment for the Bucks. It occurred in New York at Madison Square Garden 4 years ago. I think I said three initially. 4 years ago today, this infamous play.
Knocked away and stolen. Here's Middleton. Giannis trailing the lob. Oh! Giannis Antetokounmpo for Chris Middleton.
No, Chris was going... Now I knew he's gonna throw me the lob. It was a bad pass by Chris, but I was able to, you know, get up and go get the ball. I did not see Tim Hardaway under me, so I just went up there and just went hard and tried to get the ball and dunk the ball.
Gus Johnson with the call. Giannis leaps over Tim Hardaway Jr. on this day 4 years ago, giving us a highlight for the ages on this date in Bucks history. Two straight wins to open up the Western Conference road trip. They're back at it, still in California, Los Angeles to be exact, on Tuesday night. Bucks and the Lakers, 9 p.m. tip-off, 8:30 is when our radio network coverage begins. My thanks to Evan and Max for producing the show, and to all of you for hanging out for the last hour. We'll talk to you once again Tuesday night with more Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.